Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
Psalm 23. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for each and every person that is here this morning. Whether it's our elders who have been here for many years or a first-time guest, I am praying today that you would enlighten our eyes, open up our spiritual eyes so that we may see the revelation of your word. And through that, we can help magnify the kingdom of God through the glory that you allow to rest upon us. And God, that's my prayer. And for the next few minutes, anoint my mind and my mouth and let your people receive your word in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Today we're going to look at Psalm 23. It's perhaps the most famous chapter in the entire word of God. It starts out, verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want." If I asked the majority of you, probably most of you could say this entire six verses with your just memorization. But what I want you to do now, if you would, I want you to look at verse 5, Psalm 23 and verse 5. I want to highlight this one sentence. David says, "You anoint," everybody say anoint, "you anoint my head with oil." So what does it mean to be anointed? In spirit-filled churches, you hear that language a lot. He was anointed to preach. She was anointed to sing. He was anointed to teach this morning. Man, they're just anointed to do that. So you hear that word a lot. But what does it mean? What does it mean to be anointed? Well, it really, the anointing depends on who's doing the anointing, okay? If one of your neighbors came over to your house with some Slick 50, that's oil, okay? And they said, "We're going to take this Slick 50 and we're going to anoint you as king of the universe." Do you think that'd change your life? No. Why? Because the anointing, it depends on who's doing it. Who's anointing you? So there's an anointing by God that is an internal anointing, and there is also an external anointing. And we're going to talk about the difference in those two. To be anointed by God means that something happens internally that is expressed externally. Now, last week we talked about wind talkers and we talked about tongues. I'm not going to get into that this morning. We talked about that last week. You're welcome to pick up a free CD. But when you are anointed by God internally, what happens is you receive the Spirit of Christ. Does that make sense? And it comes on the inside of you. The Spirit of Christ is heaven's best gift. It's a gift that God gives you. Really what it is, it's the nature of Christ. Say the nature. When you get the Spirit of Christ, you get the nature of Christ. Does that make sense? And the nature of Christ, what is that nature? His Spirit, His power, when it fills you and you're baptized with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. What does that do, Pastor? Well, according to Scripture, what it does is it gives you supernatural insight. It gives you supernatural ability and authority and protection that you normally don't have in order to do what God has called you to do. Now, in the Old Testament, when they anointed someone, it means that God's favor, His protection, His power, His glory was upon them to set them apart to do the purpose that God had ordained for them to do. So does that make sense? Okay. Now, anointing by people is something totally different. Tonight, we're going to have probably 300 or 400 prayer cloths that we're going to anoint this afternoon. We're going to anoint people. Now, this anointing is an external anointing. It's when I take what is just plain olive oil, I take it on my fingers, and I anoint your head. Now, when I'm doing that, what is it? That is an external symbol of an internal process. Okay? I want to make this help you make sense. For example, God uses many different external symbols as something that God wants to do internal. Here's an example. When we take bread and wine or crackers and juice, what is that? That is an external symbol of what Christ did for us at Calvary. It is to remind us of his death, his burial, his resurrection, and the crucifixion, so that when we take that bread, he said, "This is my body that was broken for you. Take and eat it. This is my blood that was shed for you. Take and drink it." Now there are some religions that believe it actually turns into the body and the blood of Christ. I don't believe that. I believe it is an external symbol of what, to remind us of what Christ did for us on the cross. Does that make sense? Okay, here's another external symbol. When we go into the waters of baptism and we baptize someone and we immerse them, that means to put them under. When we immerse them, when we do that, that is an external symbol. You're saying that I'm not just coming up here to get wet. I'm not just coming over here to turn over a new leaf. When we baptize you, that is a sign that you have a brand new beginning and that now all of your sins have been washed away and you're going to rise up a new creature in Christ Jesus. Now, it's just water, though. There's nothing special about the water. There's nothing special about this oil, but they are symbols to remind us externally what God is doing internally. Does that make sense? Okay, here's another example. My wedding ring that I'm wearing this morning. In fact, Janet and I just celebrated 27 years, August 10th. Janet gave me this, this wedding ring 27 years ago. And I'll tell you, when I stood up 27 years ago and said I do, I didn't have a clue what I was getting myself into. I've been working out those two little letters I do for 27 years, buddy. Mm-hmm. So Janet gave me this ring. Now I could lose this ring and Janet be very upset. And I would too. I would. But guess what? If I lost this ring, it would not mean that I'm not married. I'm still married even if I lost the ring. It's just a symbol that you see that says I am married. So now here's the point that I want to make. When someone anoints you with oil, there's nothing magical or mystical in the oil. There's nothing special in the water of baptism. It's just water. The oil is just olive oil. It's just a symbol of something far more significant. There's got to be a faith that when you take that bread and you drink that wine, that I am taking the body that was broken and I'm drinking the blood that was shed for me. And in fact, I believe in the meal that heals so much that I believe when you take communion in faith, that if you receive it as the body of Christ and you receive it as his blood, that belief in that can literally bring healing into your life. When you believe that you go down in that water, it's totally remitting your sins and washing your sins away. When I look at this ring, it reminds me that I'm loyal and faithful to one lady. Are you with me this morning? So there is a faith. Everybody say faith. There is a faith in the fact that you are anointed. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you're anointed. No, say it like you mean it. You're anointed. You say, Pastor, I don't feel anointed. Well, when I woke up this morning, I didn't feel saved. But I am saved. Come on. I'm not going by how I feel this morning. I'm going by faith in the Word of God. I'm anointed. Why? Because the Scripture tells me, he that hath begotten me hath anointed me. He placed his anointing upon me. There are a lot of different meanings to being anointed with oil. Some of it means to be comforted. It also means to receive joy, to receive healing. There's four different anointings that I can think of. It's called the oil of joy. I'm sure y'all have heard of that. Then there's the oil of deliverance. There's also the oil of gladness. And there is the oil of salvation. In the Old Testament, there were only three people in the Old Testament that God anointed. Only three. You know who they were? You either had to be a priest, you had to be a prophet, or you had to be a king. Other than that, no one else got any anointing. No one was allowed. No one was allowed in the Old Testament to even take home anointing oil. It was so sacred and so precious that if you took home any of the anointing oil, you could be cut off from the whole tribe of Israel. So you weren't allowed to have it. But when Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, came and he died on the cross, the Bible says that he rent the veil from the top to the bottom. And now every one of us can go directly into the presence of God. In the Old Testament, you could not go directly to God. You had to go through a priest in order to get to God. You had to confess your sins to a priest in order to get to God. You had to pray through a priest in order to get your prayers to the Lord. But here's the good news. You don't have to go through a priest anymore. You and I can go directly to God. Why? Because of what Jesus did for all of us at Calvary. In fact, the Bible says, he calls us that you are kings and priests before God. All throughout the Scripture, it's called the priesthood of the believer. It talks about it over and over again, the priesthood of the believer. You may not really have thought about this, but you right now, as a child of God, as a believer, every one of you, if you've been filled with the Spirit, have the right to take this oil and anoint people with oil and pray the prayer of faith over them and see them healed. You don't have to go through a priest anymore. If I were to use modern day terminology, I'd say it like this. Every member is a minister. We have a hard time with that. But that's what Christ did on the cross. Is he took that one priest out of the way, and now we can come before the throne boldly. I'm talking this morning, what does it mean to be anointed? What does it mean? It means that you have the authority. Say, I have the authority to do everything that the priest used to do in the Old Testament. You have that authority. Everything the priest did in the Old Testament, now you have the authority to do it. Why? Because now you have the Spirit of Christ in you. That means you're anointed. Does that make sense? Go back to Psalm 23 and 5. You anoint my head with oil. What's the meaning of that? The Bible says this, ladies and gentlemen, that before you were even born, God has placed a purpose in your life. I say this many times. You got to remember this. You were made by God and you were made for God. And if you don't understand that, life will never make sense. See, Jeremiah said it this way. He said, God speaking to Jeremiah, he said, look, before you were even formed in your mother's belly, I had already ordained you to be a prophet. See, this is why we don't believe that when a lady gets pregnant, it's a choice. It's not a choice, it's a child. And God places a purpose when there's conception for that child. Can I get a witness? Look at your neighbor and tell him you have a purpose. You have a God-ordained purpose. You have a calling. A calling. That word in the Greek is kaleo. K-A-L-E-O. Kaleo or kaleo. That means, what it means is to be called out. Be called out. There's a word in the Latin, it's V-O-C-E. It means, it's the root word of vocal or voice. It's where we get our word voice from. What that means is that God has called you out. He has placed a purpose on your life. He's placed an anointing upon you to fulfill that call and to fulfill that purpose. Say, I've been called by God. The Pentecostals don't get this. But if you're an operator at one of the plants and you do that well, guess what? That's a call by God. If you're a teacher and you're teaching, guess what? That's a call of God. Whatever you do, God has called businessmen, He's called policemen, He's called nurses, He's called technicians. If everybody was called to preach, who would I get to preach to? If everybody was called to be a prophet, who would you prophesy to? There are more callings, ladies and gentlemen, than just a missionary and a pastor and an evangelist. Every one of you are called by God to do what He's called you to do. And if you don't know that, then you're not living a fulfilled life. If you're just going off and doing your own thing and saying, well, this is what I wanted to do, then you're not going to be happy. You're not going to be fulfilled until you get into that purpose and into that calling. That's where the anointing comes on. Can I just talk to you just a minute? Brothers and sisters, I have no doubt that God has called me. And if I abide under that calling, then that's where I'm blessed. But if I decide, you know what, I don't want to do this anymore, and I could do that, and I get out from under that, then the anointing is no longer on my life. The protection of God is no longer on my life. He's not obligated to me because I removed myself from His purpose. Doesn't mean He doesn't love me. Doesn't mean He doesn't care about me. But it means the very thing I asked you and called you to do, now you stepped away from it. This is why the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. Because God has placed an anointing upon you to do what He's called you to do. Say, I'm anointed. You got to act like it. You got to believe it. Everybody in this house, God has placed a calling on your life. Now, let me get into some verses real quick. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read a different translation, but the New King James Version is going to show up on the screens. Look real quickly at the book of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Here's a different translation of that verse. It says, God made us what we are. God made us what we are. In other words, God wired you. God created each of us. Look at your neighbor and say, God made you what you are. Okay, He created us to do what? The Bible says to do, He created in Christ Jesus for good works. My translation says, which He planned in advance for us to live our lives doing. God planned you in advance to do His will and His purpose on the earth. Does that make sense? Okay. So I'm going to go through this pretty quickly. When God anoints me, it means that He appoints me. Say that with me. When He anoints me, He appoints me. What does that mean, Pastor? It means that when God gives you the empowerment, He's going to give you the assignment. It means when God gives you His Spirit, He's going to give you His strategy. That makes sense? It means that God's anointing comes with God's appointing. If God calls you to do something and you're scared to death to do it, or you feel inadequate, or you feel incompetent, let me read you a scripture. It's found in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 24. It says, "The one who called you is faithful, and He will do it." In other words, yes, you're an instrument, but He called you, He's faithful, and He's going to do it through you. So you can get up and you don't have to fear. Why? Because you know if God called you, He appointed you, He anointed you, and He's going to do it through you. Now, here's a good example of how this happens. The very first followers of Jesus Christ, the 12, He looks at them. And in Acts 1 and 8, this is what He says in Acts 1 and 8. "You will receive power after what? The Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you shall be My witnesses, and you're going to go to the ends of the earth." Now think about when He said that. They didn't have planes, trains, automobiles, or ocean liners. How are they going to get to the ends of the earth? His power made a way. Because He wasn't just talking to those 12. He was talking to generations of disciples. And God knew, guess what? In time, I'm going to provide the means for you to literally cover the earth with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But at that point in time, it was impossible. But God made a way. God's going to make a way. Even when something, you look at it and God asks you to do something impossible, God will make a way. Can I get a witness? God will make a way. Now, here's the second thing. When the anointing comes on me, you know what it does? It changes me. I'm going to give you a scripture here. It changes you. How? It changes you from the inside out. God gives you abilities that you didn't even really realize that you had. God's anointing, it transforms you. I want to go to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 10. This is the first king. His name is Saul. And if you read about Saul, he's a shy man. He's a timid man. And yet Israel had been asking for a king. They wanted a king. So the prophet in that day, his name was Samuel. God comes to Samuel and He says, "Samuel, the people want a prophet. It's not what I want. It's what they want. I want you to take the anointing, a flask," is King James Version, "of oil. A horn of oil. And I want you to go to a man named Saul and anoint him." And I'm going to just tell you the story. It's found in 1 Kings. I believe it is 1 Kings chapter 10. Look at verse 1. And it says, "Then Samuel took oil and poured it on Saul's head. And he said, 'God hath anointed you to be the leader.'" So this is a type of God's anointing now. This is a type of the Holy Spirit. This is a type of God setting Saul apart for the purpose He wants him to do in the earth. Now look at verse 6. This is key. "God's Spirit will come upon you and you will speak like a prophet." And in fact, in the King James Version, it says, "You will be turned into another man." Here's what the anointing does. When the anointing gets on the inside of you through the power of the Holy Ghost, it literally changes your nature. It changed Saul. He said, Saul was like, "Man, you're freaking me out. How do I even know that? Tell me, what's a sign that I'm even knowing this anointing is going to work?" Here's what Samuel the prophet said. He said, "You're going to be walking with a group of men, and all of a sudden the Spirit of the Lord is going to come upon you, and you're going to begin to prophesy." as far as the record of the scripture, we don't see where Saul had ever prophesied before that. But after he was anointing, which is again the type of the Holy Spirit, he did something and he spoke something he had never done or never spoken. How did he do it? That was the power of God on the inside of him, beginning to change him and letting him know, Saul, you're just not Saul anymore. You're anointed by me, and I've raised you up to be a king, and I'm going to give you the strategy on how to defeat your enemies. It's going to change you. The anointing, ladies and gentlemen, changes you. Here's something else it does. It makes difficult tasks a lot easier. Here's a good one. Because, you know, we try to do so much in our own power. But your adrenaline and your own power, eventually it just runs out. But God's power never runs out. God is limitless. Can I get an amen? I'm going to show you the difference real quickly between an anointed life and an unanointed life. Here's Ephesians 3:16. Here's what the scripture says. This is, again, is a paraphrase. From his unlimited resources, God will give you mighty inner strength through his Holy Spirit. Look at that word, mighty inner strength. So many times what we do, we just do it, and we get tired, we get fatigued, we don't, you know, we kind of struggle our way through it. But when you get the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, ladies and gentlemen, knows things that your mind doesn't. Because the Spirit of God is limitless, but the mind is limited. And this is why there are times you tap into the Holy Ghost, because you say, God, I don't know how to do this. I don't know the exit strategy. I don't know the plan, and my mind can't come up with it. But if I can get in the Spirit, God can reveal something to me. This is how you get out. This is how you handle this. This is what you do right here. Why? That is the work of the Spirit, to give you what your mind cannot. Does that make sense? So when you have the anointing on your life, you're not just tired all the time. The reason why sometimes we get tired all the time is because we're just trying to do it in our strength, solve our own problems, trying to live our own life, trying to fulfill our purpose on our own power. And God in this verse says, I'm going to give you inner strength to do what I've anointed you to do. And it's not going to be it's not going to be in your own intellect or through your flesh. When I get through with you, you're going to look back and you're going to say, I couldn't have done that. I know that was God doing that through me. That was the anointing, ladies and gentlemen, that gave you the unction and the power and the vision to be able to do that. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, here's what the anointing does. It can give you supernatural energy. One of the most famous verses in the scripture, I believe it is Philippians 4:13, says this, I can do, say this with me, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Are you trying, brothers and sisters, to do everything within your own power? Are you trying to do it based upon your adrenaline or based upon anointing? I have people come quite often and say to me, Pastor, man, I don't know how you do what you do. I don't know how you put up with people. You know what I tell them? Here's my answer. God gives me the grace to what he's called me to do. I don't say this boastingly, I say it humbly. But if God hasn't called you to pastor, you better run as far as you can from a self-call. Because I'm going to tell you something, it'll eat your lunch. God gives you an anointing for what he calls you to do. He gives you a grace for what he calls you to do. Stop, please, I'm asking you to stop thinking that because I'm not a pastor or a missionary or a prophet or an evangelist that I'm not called. That's not true, Now, you could say that in the Old Testament, but you can't say that in the New Testament. Every believer is a minister. And God wants you to be sensitive no matter where you go. God can lay it on your heart. You need to pray for this person. And you say, man, why do I feel that? Why do I feel I need to pray for them? I'll tell you why. Because it's the Spirit on the inside of you giving you knowledge that your brain doesn't know. But God knows where that person is at. And he needs somebody that is anointed, that's sensitive, that says, you know what, right up here in Brookshire's, I felt led to pray for you, and if you don't mind, give me your hand. God, I know this heart right here is crying out for you. And when you do that, that's called being Spirit-led. God's anointed you to be Spirit-led. Stop thinking the only people anointed are pastors. You have the right to do everything that the priest did in the Old Testament. I understand that not many pastors say this. But listen, brothers and sisters, this oil is nothing special. If you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you can take this oil. You can put a little bit in your pocket and you can anoint people. What is it? It is an external symbol that God's purpose, His comfort, His healing, His joy, His power is going to be upon your life. And what I'm doing externally is going to get into you internally. And it's going to transform you and it's going to change you. Does this make sense? This is why we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because it's not within you to direct your own steps. But when you tune into that Spirit, the Spirit can tell you, don't go there. Why not? Because that's not good. It may look good, but you don't know what's on the other side of that door. But the Spirit knows. And if you'll listen, you'll stay out of trouble. Don't walk in there. Don't go there. Why? Because God is trying by His Spirit to save you from something. How many, let me see your hands, has the Holy Spirit ever told you something and you did it anyway? How'd it turn out? Not good? Well, I don't, because you know, your flesh said, well, I don't know why. I'm going to tell you all a quick story and then I'm going to be done. My dad and my mother living in Houston, Texas. And my mother's cousins wanted our family to go with them to Missouri on vacation. And later, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, do not go. Do not go. And my dad just said, I didn't understand that. I had no reason not to go. We hadn't been on a vacation. We could be able to afford it at this time. There was absolutely no reason why that we shouldn't go. So he said, I overrode that, and we went. So we went with our cousins and our family to Missouri, and it was a Missouri State Park, and we all went on a horse ride. And if you were not old enough, you had to ride with your parents. And so I rode with my dad. I was on the back of the horse with my dad. I'm not making this story up. This is true, I promise you. So we all get in this trail ride, and my sister's on a horse by herself. She's 4 years older than me. My mom's on a horse by herself. All of my cousins, they're on horses. And yet I'm on a horse with my dad, and we're at the end horse. And They're on this trail. It's a very narrow trail. It's probably 3 foot, 4 foot wide. And where we were at this time, there was this cliff. It was large, just straight up. It was all rock and then down was a river. It's called the Roaring River, And there was a grapevine that went from this cliff, this mountain, so to speak, down and over this trail. And it just so happened that our horse was the only horse, but its foot got caught in this vine. And when it did, I slid off and I landed on my back I'm not making this up. That 1,200-pound horse came right down on my chest. Reared back up, came down on my chest again. Reared back up and came down on my chest for the third time. By that time, my dad had stood up, and he didn't know what else to do. He got up underneath that horse. And when that 1,200-pound horse came down for the fourth time, when that weight landed, it cracked his from his toe all the way to his knee. I lay there lifeless, my dad not knowing if I was dead. My dad picks me up, and there was no room. You just had to understand it was a different situation. There was no room for anyone to turn around. So my dad had to walk a mile, not making this up, with the child in his hands and a broke leg, a mile back to the camp before they could finish their ride, get to us, and take us to the hospital. Why are you telling me that? I'm telling you, if my dad would have listened, he could have saved him from a broke leg and me almost dying. He didn't know why, but at the end of it, he knew. Oh, because he didn't listen to the witness of the Spirit. I had no idea I was going to tell that story this morning. Some people are wondering, why do I need the Spirit? Why do I need to be anointed? There's a number of reasons why. Because you can't change yourself. If you could, you would, but you can't, so you won't. You need the power of the Holy Spirit to help you to break the hurts and the habits and the hang-ups of yesterday. Because signing up and going to a gym to work out only lasts for so long. Willpower, they have said willpower only lasts for 90 days. That's bad news. The good news is God's power just keeps on. It never diminishes. And only God's power is the power to help you to break forth from the habits and the hurts and the hang-ups of yesterday. God's power, His Spirit, is what will lead you. It was what will guide you. It's what will direct you. When God's anointing comes upon your life, it begins to transform you. It begins to change you. You can't do that without the Spirit of God. I'm hastening to a close. Listen to me. Religion, brothers and sisters, religion cannot, it cannot change you. Religion is the gateway, but it's not the way. He's the way. He's the truth. And He's the life. They that are of flesh is fleshly. But they that are the Spirit is spirit. And this is what Jesus said. Marvel not that you must be born again. You know why? Because when you worship God, God didn't say they that worship me must worship me in flesh and truth. He said they that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. It's your spirit that connects with God. That's why you want to be anointed by God. You want to have His Spirit upon in you. And then when we anoint you, that's an external anointing of something that God wants to do internally. Tonight, we're going to have anointed cloths. We're going to anoint people. It's going to be a fantastic service. You're not going to want to miss the service tonight. Would you all stand with me? Thank you so much.
We pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in DeQuincy. TPC, loving God and loving people.